I call this meeting to order. Please stand for the flag. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands,
one nation
under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May we have the roll call?
Councilmember Deedy?
Here.
Councilmember Oglesby?
Here.
Councilmember Wisnowski?
Here.
Councilmember Stout?
Here.
Councilmember De Leon?
Here.
Councilmember O'Donnell?
I have not heard from him.
I know, I mean, I've had correspondence, I just haven't heard from him on this. Councilmember Page?
Here.
We have a quorum, Mayor.
Thank you. So the first item on the agenda tonight is the continuation of our discussion regarding proclamation establishing the city of Black Diamond as a welcoming and inclusive community. I'm not sure the committee, Bernie O'Donnell is here. So I'm not sure who took the lead on that, if it was Chris or Christiana, but who would like to start?
Did everybody get a chance to look over the document that we sent out? I know, and Bernie, thanks for your feedback. Getting up to speed quick.
Yeah, sure.
So what I'd like to probably do, and Aaron and Christiana chime in at any time, is have a quick discussion in general about it before we go through it line by line, paragraph by paragraph, or whatever. But what was the overall general feeling about the approach, the verbiage and diction and stuff like that? Are there any concerns?
And Bernie, too, if there are any questions about context with all of this, too, because we did see your input and your ideas. And I realize you're kind of coming in at an interesting time with all of this. So, especially if you have questions.
Yeah, I guess my thing, I mean, maybe it's going to be put into the format of a proclamation, but it was more of a message, it seemed like, than a proclamation. I mean, what I'm used to is the whereas and then therefore. So you just kind of set up what our principles are and what we believe in. And so therefore, we proclaim that we're going to do the following things, you know, and so it's organized in that manner. and so that's kind of what, you know, and maybe it wasn't quite decided if it was going to be a proclamation or a resolution, you know. At the end, it said it was, so therefore we resolve to do this. I think we mean proclaim, right? And some other things, it just, there are some, the continuity of language, you know, like where we talk about inclusion and equity, and maybe in some other places we talk about respect and safety. So it didn't seem like he was consistent, you know, in the messaging. Just a little bit of quick background. That's I look at contracts all day long, and I'm sure there's a number of you that do that too. My staff complains that I'm always wordsmithing and redlining documents. It's what I do all day long. So it's not to critique anybody's hard work. So the stuff that I marked up was sort of my thinking. I'm happy to talk about any details of what I was offering up there.
We did start out with, Councilmember Deedy, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that I thought that the work committee that worked it did a good job, but I also thought that Councilmember O'Donnell, who I thought, wow, you jumped right in, so kudos to you, O'Donnell.
Thank you.
But I liked how it was broken out as the whereas and then now for with 1, 2, and 3. It was much smoother to read and go through. And I did notice, you know, in Councilmember O'Donnell's one, he did take out and go to school here. And I would agree with that at that part. I would take that out, you know, where at the very beginning it says, we welcome all people who live, work, and visit and go to school here. I think, you know, our kids live here. So I think where it says people who live, that would include the children that go to school here. So I like moving that portion, that section. And then there was a whole nother section on the one that the work study did, where it has our spirit of welcoming the neighborliness of is grounded in the presence of justice, equality, inclusion. I thought that was a little much because it's already been spoken within what you've already put in each section. So I understand, you know, you might want to have, you know, the United States Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Constitution of the State of Washington, but I just thought that that was a little heavy and a little too much right there and getting maybe a little lost in what we're trying to say. So I thought taking that part out and just, you know, concentrating on everything else made it seem easier to read and understand where we're going.
Council Member Stout?
I would just say that we did work hard on this. Initially, Council Member De Leon did write up our notes from the last work study that we entered into, where a couple council members were not in attendance, so they may not realize, you know, what went on during that meeting. And Council Member De Leon took the lead and typed like crazy and put those notes together for us that very evening. And she did write it in a more formal format. She actually had 11 whereas statements. Christiana.
We did work to consolidate them, yes.
She covered everything, but that was kind of a brainstorm version. And then we kind of took it apart in our committee meetings and we went through, you may feel, the other members of the council may feel it's a little heavy and maybe even a little repetitive in some places, but we actually paid a lot of attention to not leaving anyone out. At the end of our work, we kind of sat back for a minute and said, who did we not address? Is there anyone that we left out? This is a hot topic in not only our community, but in our region and across the country right now. Many organizations have produced welcoming and inclusive statements. And we wanted ours to be unique to Black Diamond. We had actually a painful episode during our work where we approached a community member and asked for their input on their particular background. And there were some misunderstandings and honestly some painful communications. And I think we got past those things. So we didn't approach anything we did lightheartedly. We worked pretty hard and put in quite a lot of effort. And I really appreciate Council Member De Leon and Council Member Wisnowski. We worked in good harmony together to make this thing happen. And I don't know where all the council members stand on this, but we kind of wanted it to be a little less formal, a little less whereas and therefore, so that it was really, really readable for the average citizen, with even a hope that we could post this around the city and make it available in a printed format for community members who would like a copy. So that's just kind of the background on where we went with that.
Councilmember De Leon.
Thank you. Yeah, and just to also emphasize a few of the points and clarify some of the points that especially Councilmember Stout was raising. This was a lot of work done in good faith. We would love to hear more input and suggestions from community members on this. So hopefully, you know, there'll be an opportunity with the town hall to follow, where maybe we'll get some of that preliminary thinking, because certainly the idea is to have as much of that sort of community level engagement as possible going forward. With that in mind, especially with the comments around some of the whereases and some of the, you know, the level of formality, I'm under the impression that we will be probably possibly doing something like that once this is all kind of said and done and more formalized. But for now, at least this format that we've been looking at, you know, tonight, it's at least just to kind of go more into the details about what we are saying. And, you know, I understand that there are possibly some folks who might, you know, be, you know, having some questions or comments about some of the words on it, about the concepts of grounded in the presence of justice, equity, inclusion. But this is, that might be one of the heavier statements, but that is indeed one of the biggest things that I think we could be either, you know, resolving and saying that we, our city is about. That is where sort of the heart of this is that we're wanting to talk about a community that's centered on this, where there is that presence, and that is how we move forward. I can attest, because we have been talking a little bit about the research we've been doing, you know, looking at different cities' proclamations, looking at other, you know, city-related organizations and what they've produced and published, that some of these can get very specific to a certain period of time. Like, there's kind of a zeitgeist around it. I'm thinking of a few cities in particular that were especially in response to certain current events. And ours was, I'm hoping, can kind of be a really mindful balance of recognizing that we are in a unique place and time, while also recognizing that there are going to be some elements that are meant to transcend a lot of that, you know. And part of it is just reminding us that, you know, we are in the spirit, or we are in this time where it might behoove us to especially just remember that our values are going to center on things like the presence of equity and inclusion and justice, because that is where we can go put that back in those public forums, and where we can continue to dialogue on it. And that's what goes back to that first point about even wanting to just see what community members have to say about this. Is this is, I think, in a lot of ways intended to be a living document, where then people can kind of go back and say, what you said, you wanted these ideas of inclusion and of justice and equity and all these things. And, you know, that's where people can go forth and say, so what's the policy? What, you know, or maybe it's, you know, an issue on the budget or anything like that, where now these are the tools for the community members to communicate with us about what that means going forward. So it isn't just this one moment in time snapshot.
Councilmember O'Donnell, I like that you added the history piece, right? That's something we had talked about on and off and on and off. And I think we could incorporate that back in. I think it's a good point that, you know, in I don't see it as some folks may see it as a saying, well, we've always been inclusive. That's not the point. The point is that inclusivity and welcoming has been in our kind of the culture of Black Diamond from the start, right? And no city is perfect. No history is perfect of anything anywhere. So, but I like that you included that heritage piece, because that kind of ties back to old Black Diamond our past and our history and those kind of things. So I kind of like that. I'd like to see how we can incorporate that in. I did note that you said political affiliation, and we steered away from that and we used philosophical values, which was kind of in place of that, right? So we didn't want to limit it just to political things, right? But it covers that as well. So I think that's one of the things we kind of wanted to kind of broaden that scope a little bit, right? It covers, you know, don't bash on somebody because they're in a different political party than you. But it opens it up a little bit more that, you know, well, maybe it's not a party thing. Maybe it's, you know, or a political thing. Maybe it's just a philosophical value. So, and the other thing I was going to say, we were purposefully repetitive in, repetitive in the document, because I think we wanted to spell it out. Then we wanted to say how we would do it. And then we wanted to reaffirm it. Right. So it kind of reaffirms that commitment. But I think after we get some feedback from the public, hopefully in the town hall, and in near future, we can kind of meld the two documents together. We can figure out the right appropriate level of whereases and nots. But I think one of the drives for this, I think like Christiana was saying, for it to be more of a conversation and less of a, we put a stake in the ground because everybody else is doing it, now we're done, right? No, it's got to live on in the way we conduct business in the city and the way we expect our citizens to build a community, right? And this is as broad as we can get it, right? I mean, we tried to think of everybody we could include. We tried to think of reasons, right? Not just political or racial or all the other lists, but also new versus old, right? We wanted to include that as well as we try to get over this hump of this diversity issue with the people not liking the new citizens of our community because they happen to live in a newer development than what they live in, right? And it's kind of the pot calling the kettle black for most people. So, that is one of those, you know, kind of things. And I think we wanted to set it up so that we would not only say, hey, these are our thoughts, right? These are how we want to live. But that last paragraph also says, we want to make sure that this is built into how we run the city, right? And how we think about things longer term, right? So that we make sure that opportunity is there for everybody and that everyone feels welcome in our community. And that, it's not just, we didn't want to just have a rubber stamp that, you know, was a ditto of the next city, three cities over, whatever, with just our city of our name changed, right? Because that's the easy work. I mean, I hate to say it, there's a lot of cities that have done that, right? They pretty much have taken a copy of somebody else's and changed the name of the city and handed it in as their homework. And if we were all in school, our teachers wouldn't go for that. So, so I think this is black diamondized. Does that make sense? I think it's much more local, right? Which is kind of what we want to do, right? We want to have it actually be the voice of our community and not the voice of another community or the voice of some political party or some consultant somewhere, right? We wanted it to be the voice of our community. And as Councilmember Stout said, it was a really harmonious work. We did a lot of work, right? Going back and forth on this, we spent a lot of time together, but we had differences of opinion between the people, not necessarily on what's on the document, but just in general, right? And we worked really well together. And that I hope is mirrored not only in the document, but in the community going forward, right? So that we realize that just because two people disagree with each other philosophically or whatever, right, that they can still work together to make Black Diamond a better place.
Councilmember Oglesby.
Thank you, Mayor. Yeah, I'd have to agree. I do like the history portion of it that Council O'Donnell add into it. I feel that is very important. Kind of gives people a little piece. If this is something we want to place into our city and have it be like a message where we could post it, where everybody can look at it. I do like having new residents and old residents recognize and remember what our history is and how we became established a long time ago. I do like that second whereas where you put in Bernie there. I think it's a beautiful statement. I think you guys did a great job on it. I do agree with Council Member Didi that it kind of feels a little heavy and repetitive in certain areas. I for me, it was easier to read the whereas that O'Donnell presented versus me reading this as an individual. But I agree, if we can blend a little bit of it, add a little bit portion of the history portion of it. And now that you present it this way and saying, yes, I want this out to be, people can view it, read it. I do like it now the way it is. I'm using my hands because I'm reading it on the screen here too. That I do like the way it reads the paragraph. So it's softer to look at versus the whereas, but it was easier for me to read the whereas for me personally. I don't know. There's my feedback. I mean, both of them sound great, and you guys did an amazing job on it. I mean, I'm happy with the results.
Councilmember De Leon.
Yeah, thank you. And we can kind of, you know, fine tune how it looks like in terms of the actual format. I realize with any city statement, be it a proclamation or a resolution, is probably going to come down to that format where there's a little bit more wording in bold and what have you. So I think that is a fair point to bring up about the legibility aspect, just in terms of formatting. I would kind of put out here for us and raise a question about if we are to include some portion about acknowledging or recognizing, delving into whatever you want to call it, the history of this community. I think that might take a little bit more further discussion to really, you know, quickly but authentically capture what that history would be. You know, I think there's some parts in the suggested documents that have some merit and some really strong parts to bring up. But with that said, no city has a completely perfect past. And, you know, we have a great city. And with that said, though, there have been some parts that have been less than stellar and that have not spoken to the values of inclusivity and justice and equity. And I think it's just really important. And I would ask fellow council members to think about what it might mean if we do address the historical nature of our historic town, what that would look like in a way that doesn't seem dismissive of parts of our past where we didn't. And again, I think it's important to recognize that there's growth and there's progress and there can be all these really good things. And it's not to just condemn or anything like that, but to recognize that there is something to be said for acknowledging and having that vulnerability about, but this didn't go as right as it could have. And I think I'll leave it there, but I mean, I could name more specific historical facts, but I think just with that in mind, when we talk about history, we have to be really careful about how we discuss it in a way that is authentic and meaningful and still promotes a positive vision of the city.
Council Member Deedy.
So one thing I would suggest, because neither of these documents have been published online anywhere, so those need to be published so that the citizens can have a chance to look at both of these documents that we're talking about. So they, if they're listening in or come and listen on the audio, they know what the heck we're talking about. I also liked on O'Donnell's proclamation here at the very beginning where it says, whereas, although I would change it a little bit where it says, whereas the city council of the city of Black Diamond, I would say, whereas the City of Black Diamond Council wishes to reaffirm. So I like the word reaffirm because we're, you know, we've talked about being inclusive, and I feel that the city has been inclusive, and I think it's good to say reaffirm in there. I don't know if we need length of residence in there. But, you know, I know that the three of you were trying to include 10 trails, and I'm assuming other residents that come in, but I know it's heavy on the 10 trails issue. So I'm not sure that the length of residence needs to be there, because I think that we're already saying everybody, and we're including 10 trails because they are part of Black Diamond. And we're not including, you know, we're not specifically saying people who live up in Morgan Creek or Eagle Creek or, you know, because people are buying into those housing developments as well. So I just think length of residence should be removed. I do really like the whereas, and it, to me, it grabs your attention. If you're going to put it around the city and you want somebody to have attention, you're going to do the whereas. If you're going to do it the other way, the one that was written up and sent to us by our attorney, it's just, to me, if I walk by, it's just a lot of words and I'm going to keep walking by. But if I see the whereas and everything, it grabs my attention, and I'm going to take the time to read it, and it's just sectioned out perfect to have that punch that you're looking for to be able to give to the citizens and visitors who come, who want to stop and read that and understand what the city council is trying to say. There was something else I was going to say, but anyway, so I think that, you know, this is the hard part of breaking off and doing a committee of three, or when I was on the committee for the ad hoc for the fire department, when it was just two council members, that now you've got to bring your work back to a full body council of seven members, and you've got to get input and realize, you know, yeah, we the three of us worked really hard, but now we're asking four members for more input, and realize that, you know, what started off then went to Councilmember O'Donnell, who did a great job of reformatting and adding or just re-smithing a few things, to now the rest of us all get to add our input at this meeting. And then you're asking the citizens to now have input. So I don't know how long this documentation is going to take us to get through. It may take next year, but I think it's a good start, and I would prefer, hopefully before the end of tonight's meeting, which I'm not sure how much longer we have, to say, you know, we like the formation of this of O'Donnell's, or we want to keep the formation of the other one, and we just want to wordsmith a few things, and then be able to say, this is what we're bringing forward, and what does the public think? And I also, really quick, I disagree with Christiana, Councilmember De Leon, about not having our message in there about, you know, the city of Black Dam's heritage is founded by immigrants, because it was. I mean, people came from all over to come into Black Diamond and start their career in mining. So, and Black Diamond is, we speak about our heritage all the time. So I don't want to exclude that and say, well, we as a council don't want to put that in because we maybe not like some things that happened back then. So we're going to exclude that, when in fact, that's what we talk about all the time. And we encourage all our residents to go to the museum, learn about our history, and love Black Diamond because of the history and what's happening today.
Yeah. Councilmember O'Donnell.
Yeah, thank you. Hey, so just my thought on that, and over the weekend I was watching the YouTube video on the history of Black Diamond, and what a, if I'm sure all of you have seen that, and if you haven't, it's holy smokes, I'm sending it to my parents to watch it, because you know, 60 different languages were spoken, right? Is what they said. And whether they got into bar fights, you know, and the Italians and the Dutch and whoever were, you know, fighting with each other, 60 different languages, and all those different, you know, go to the cemetery and see the diversity there. That is our heritage. Whether they squabbled or not, together they built this town, and this town is called Black Diamond for a reason. The coal miners that put their heart and soul into it. And for me, for us not to mention the history would be totally irresponsible. It would be disrespectful to all of the miners. So we've got to say something. And I don't think you guys were intending to be disrespectful to, but I think we have to say something. We don't have to get into, well, there were good people and there were bad people. And, you know, all we have to say is we're honoring the heritage of a lot of immigrants came together and built this town. That's all we're saying. We don't need to get into the details of anything on that. One thing I'd add on the whereas and the therefores, if we don't want to do that formal thing, then I don't think we should call it a proclamation. My recommendation is, let's just put it out there as a message to the people, the residents of the community, or it's a message or it's a letter on behalf of the city council. It's not a formal proclamation. But if it is a formal proclamation, then we need to, it's a formal proclamation. A formal proclamation is this, you do the whereas and the therefores. And you have to build up the story of what we're actually saying. What is the purpose of this document? And so the whereas is set up because we believe in these things, because of this history, because of this stuff, therefore we are proclaiming this. That is what a proclamation is, right? So that's what we're trying to say. So if we want to have a conversation, then it's not a proclamation, my humble opinion. And I think that if we were to look it up, that's what it would say. All that said, in being respectful for all the hard work that went into it, if we do want to go with the conversational version of it, we need to wordsmith some of that. I am concerned if the prepositional phrases and things like that, when you get down to saying, regardless of philosophical values, that's a problem for me. That's saying that regardless of whether you're a white supremacist, regardless of your, there are some things we do not believe in when it comes to philosophical values. So period. And so we got to be careful about how, and then that the welcoming and neighborliness is grounded in the presence of justice. I mean, that sounds weird to me. Welcoming and neighborliness is grounded in the fact that we're good people. It's not grounded in justice. It is backed by the law. We can't discriminate. So I think we just want to be careful about, unintended consequences, because that's what's going to come back to haunt us, is that we're only welcoming to neighborliness because it says that it's guaranteed in the United States Constitution, the Bill of Rights. We need to look at that language really closely, because I think there's unintended consequences that could result because of that. So that's sort of, I could go through, I did do a separate document that kind of wordsmithed the existing without putting the whereases and the therefore in, if it was going to be a letter or a memo to the citizens. But I don't want to convolute things. So anyway, that's my input. I do think that in the bottom, the last, we expect such from the city of Black Diamond sounds kind of heavy-handed. The last paragraph is the first time we use the word respect, but we should use that throughout, I think, if we're going to do that. opening the way for opportunity seems there's probably a better way to word that. That might be a little bit streamlined or more. What does that actually mean? We're going to create opportunities. What does it mean to open the way for opportunity? We're going to support that. We're going to support the people for opportunity. Opportunity for what? There's some wordsmithing I think we would want to do, because what's going to happen is some English scholar is going to come in and make hamburger out of it. And so it'd be better for us to do that internally if we can.
Council Member De Leon.
Yeah, thank you. So I just going to one of the first parts that were kind of sandwiched in some of the things that we were talking about. The point is well taken about what we consider when we're talking about philosophical values. It's true that we were going back and forth about things like the specific word of politics for kind of a similar-ish reason. But I do think that is a well-taken point about what we might want to think about when we're going back to future drafts about philosophical values. But I think going back to some parts that were said earlier too about heritage and history, I think there are a few things that maybe got misinterpreted in the conversation, which is then yes, Black Diamond has a vibrant history. There were a lot of people from all over who moved here. It is true that there were a lot of languages spoken. And I think to that effect, it's more of the question of but then what happened? And to know the answer of what happened is not a fully pleasant one. And it wasn't simply just because some people were not nice to each other. It was a government related issue. And I think with that in mind, that's more where I think I'm just asking us to walk back a little bit about if we talk about history and we put in the history and the legacy, we really have to be thinking about what that means in a multifaceted set. We want to celebrate things about our city. Of course we do. We all live here. We all love it. So that's not the issue at all. And that there are a lot of great things to be proud of. We have festivals that celebrate our history, right? But, and with that in mind, I think it does a disservice to our work to recognize that there are times when we still have to recognize our past and where we can learn and grow from it. You know, those areas of opportunity in the sense of realizing things weren't always pretty and all of that. But again, if we are to explore that and put that in the document, and it's not a bad idea to consider it, I think we do have to be open to having those vulnerable conversations. That, and I mean, they're hard. I know they're really hard conversations to have. That came up recently too. And that is though part of what this means for it to be a living document, is to really be willing to stand and to listen and to engage in the with the community about this. And so with all of that, I just ask that if we are to consider this for a future draft, because I think this is going to be an ongoing work, we're obviously not gonna probably finish it all up tonight would be my guess, that we do really consider the ramifications of discussing the historic part of our historic city. So I don't wanna say that, you know, we just wanna either completely exclude mentioning history or only do one thing or another or only talk bad or any of that, but to really do justice to talking about the history of any community does mean to really be open to really exploring what that means. So I think otherwise though, another really good point that I think will help also bring especially Council Member O'Donnell up to speed is we did actually have a really good conversation about what is the purpose of this, you know, and that's where we're talking about expectations of the city, capital C, and that this isn't a document that's about making sure people are being good people or not, or being nice to each other, because, you know, and correct me if I'm wrong, if there was, you know, especially for the committee conversation, but, you know, it's not the City of Black Diamond's job to make sure that everyone's just being nice to each other all the time. That's, of course, not the role of any government at any level. But there are certain things that with this kinds of a document where we can kind of hold ourselves to a certain expectation of service and accountability. So that's kind of where we went back and forth, but we wanted to steer it away from a document that just sounds like we're going to be nice people. And that's where words like justice came in and expecting things from our city came in, was in this idea that this is at least where we can hang our hats as an actual city document. And I agree, we probably don't want it to be like a conversational letter. Again, I do think that at the end of the day, we'll be deciding if it's a proclamation or a resolution. You know, as I keep learning more of what that might mean for the certain dynamics of our city government, there might be some decisions one way or the other. But I agree, we want to make sure it looks formal and like something that shows all the work and the effort that the city is having, and I'm hoping we'll continue to have about it, and that would be shown in a more formal document. There's a few other things too. You're asking really good questions about what this would mean for the long term, or sometimes I think alluding to the vagueness of the document. You know, opportunity, like opportunity for what? Which is a point well taken. And I'm hoping that some of the questions, you know, we'll probably be continuing to fine tune and maybe get input from the community on what that means. But also that is part of what it means to have this be this ongoing conversation with members of the public going forward. They're like, well, you said opportunity, now what? So it's good. And I think we're constantly trying to balance what does it mean for, you know, living with the spirit of this document and then having it be a working action. We won't have all the answers right away, but we are trying to balance it being meaningful with also it being open to future conversation. So I hope that sheds a little bit of light on it. But I think these are some good questions raised that can hopefully go back into, I'm thinking a future draft. That is why we extended that deadline a little bit, was because we knew there would be this kind of questioning.
Well, maybe you want to get back together with your committee with all the input that you have and then just decide if you want to either post both documents or have Brenda mail them out, or if you want to work on it some more and have another work study, because we have one other topic to cover tonight before 7 o'clock, and we agreed that we would take some time and talk about voting regulations. Mm-hmm. So Councilmember Wisnowski.
Yeah, I was going to say what you just suggested. I think what we can do is take the feedback from tonight, and actually it's kind of refreshing, Bernie, to have somebody's eyes on it who haven't been part of it before, right? You helped us look at a lot of things that we didn't look at it that way, kind of, because we're probably kind of two heads down into it. And as we were sitting here thinking about it, and thinking about it on the wall somewhere, I think I envisioned a little 8x10 frame or bigger with calligraphy that with for the whereas, right? And it looks a lot more official, right? So yeah, we'll take, and oh, by the way, this, the version we sent, that David sent out to you all is in the packet for this meeting. So it is in public record. It's available out on the website. People can go to the calendar, click on the packet for this meeting and see it. So yes, we'll take the feedback that we get, we've gotten tonight. If we get any from the town hall or from public comment before the next meeting, and we'll try to get together again as a small group and go to Rev 2, and then we'll bring it back before y'all and we can chat some more. But we do have to get to the voting regulation stuff, so I'll shut up.
Just as far as proclamation versus resolution, we did send this to David Linehan, and he explained to us that a resolution is usually the mayor's statement that the council affirms, and a proclamation would be the council statement, and the mayor will probably go along with it. Yeah. But it's our statement as a proclamation. As far as formatting or the formality of it, that's all up to us. We can do whatever we want at the end of the day. I have a few words within the document that I would like to preserve. Celebrates our community's diversity is something that was left out of the next version. And neighborliness, I think, is a really big point that we were trying to include. And the last thing I wanted to say was that I hope that we can get this done pretty quickly. We need to not, you know, belabor the point. And whatever the final document is, it will be good. It will be something that's meaningful to our community. And I think it's needful in our community pretty quickly. So if we can work together some more, I'm happy to do as much work as anybody is willing to do. And our committee has been good. It's a little tricky having input from other council members, because then we end up having, meeting problems. But I think we can work together and I don't think we have really any big disagreements here about the tone or whatever we're trying to say, but maybe just more formatting and just keeping a good flow here. So that's my.
Councilmember Deedy.
So I was hoping that we would leave this meeting with some sort of idea of where we're going. You know, like we just say, well, we're gonna change this sentence to this, or we're gonna take this out and this is how it's going to be, and that we would leave this meeting tonight with, okay, here's how it's going to look, and then we're going to come back and we're going to look at it, and then we'd move forward and adopt it and move on. But obviously that's not going to happen. So my question is the committee, the three of you, going to go out for, you've got the input from us. I don't think Stephen Page, is he around, has any input yet. Are you going out now? You're going to have Brenda send this out to the public or post both of them and then get the input back from the public and then format something and then bring it back? Or are you going to bring something back that you guys format from this discussion and then we'll have another work study and then bring in the information from the public? I'm not sure where we're going after tonight. So if somebody could clarify that.
Well, what I was hoping we could do is take our Bernie's format and our verbiage and bring them together. And then if we get any feedback tonight or over the next few days, that we could incorporate that as appropriate and then bring it back, maybe via email to the full council to let you look through it before our next chance to work over it. I don't want to make, this can't be an infinite loop, right? And we don't want it to take forever. If we keep doing that over and over and over again, well, the good cannot, perfect cannot be the enemy of good here, right? So we want to get the right message, but we don't have to have a perfect message, right?
Message out there? Hmm? Is Bernie's out there for the public?
I do not believe so.
And I think there might be a question that could be raised.
It was emailed to the council members, but yeah, it wasn't in the packet.
But I mean, but to post it like that, where it was just kind of an email, I'm not sure what the ramifications of that would be. But I mean, yes, I understand that we want to balance timeliness with, you know, the fact that we want to be as good as possible. But this is a value statement, right? And that isn't something that you can just hash out really super quickly. So at least what I envision, and correct me if I'm wrong with the other committee members, is we hopefully will find some time to kind of address some of the things that were brought up in this session. Hopefully there will be members of the public who will be expressing some additional ideas so that then this can come forth a few more times. But I know at least the last work session we had, we were aiming for a deadline of around November anyway. So I don't see this necessarily conflicting with that original timeline too poorly.
Councilmember O'Donnell.
Yeah, just a couple quick notes. I did do what we call a clear eyes review, which is somebody that hasn't been involved in the creation of the document, right? So I did that. I did a wordsmith that I could send. I'd be happy to send that out by email to just so you guys can consider it. A lot of stuff about that I didn't talk about tonight in the essence of time. Why did I omit the part about not going to school here? There's reason for that. I think that could be a separate whereas, you know, because we care about the next generation or the younger generation, and we want to inspire them. And so therefore, you know, we want them to be aware of this. And that's what I would like to say. And you can't say that in a conversation where it's an add on to what's important that for the people that the school kids that go here, why, you know, so, that's the whereases. Right. So, and safety, I took that out for a reason because I'm worried that there might be, again, unintended consequences that there's this thing about protests and violence. And so therefore, we're going to make sure everyone's safe. And so that means, what does that really mean? That's an unintended consequence that if you go out and protest, we're going to call the cops on you, you know, and they're going to watch you, you know, we're gonna make sure you stay safe, you know, so you can't. So it's and that's really things and getting out there, right? But I think we really need to hang on what could be an unintended consequence, and I value the time and that if we try to make this perfect, and we're going to be spinning our wheels forever, and we will miss the opportunity. I understand that, but I do think that there's some wordsmithing. I'd be happy to send this out. Take it for what it is. I'm the freshman. I will default to the experts that spent the time and took the time to put it all together. I take it as is. I do think that the philosophical values, I think that could come back as a real negative. And we'd see a letter to the editor or something like that in the paper. We got to be careful about some of that. That's all that I ask.
So I think Stephen, did you...
Yeah, so unfortunately, I don't have the advantage of video, so I can't raise my hand or do otherwise. But yes, I am here. I am listening. And I think several of the council members have touched on this. And the phrase that resonates with me right now is paralysis by analysis. And I understand that we want this beautifully crafted statement, but I think we need to make a statement, and we need to stop analyzing every little word that's in our statement and just say something. That's what I would give as my input on this.
Well, I would like to see us at least have a few minutes to talk about the voting regulations. So the three of you get together as a committee and decide how you want to share the information. Councilmember O'Donnell, if you want to send out that version, you need to send it out to all the council members, or send it to Brendan, she can send it out. So that's what I would suggest. And then the committee can get back together and discuss how they want to move ahead and if they want another work study in November or whatever.
Okay, I will send it to to Brenda.
So anyway, on the voting regulations, Councilmember Page, I would like you to just talk about some of your issues, and then I can talk about conversations that the police chief and I have had with other residents about voting on the lake and the safety and what we can and can't do. But you could bring up whatever it is you want to bring up on it to begin with, and then I'll talk about it a little bit, but we're going to have another work session on this because there's not enough time before our town hall to address all the issues that you had.
I think the issues that I had were the safety on the lake and quite honestly, the lack of enforcement. There are people that are driving the wrong way on the lake. There are people that are crossing over other boats. And quite honestly, it's really simple. I'm concerned that the volume of the boats on the lake is creating an unsafe environment. That's as simple as it is. You know, I mean, I think I have tried to express that in a way. Obviously, I live on the lake. Anybody can look that up. But I look out there, and there are days that I'm like, I'm not going out in my boat. There's too many boats. There are boats that are blaring music beyond one end of the lake hearing the other end of the lake. There are boats that are, you know, and I get it, you can call me an old fogey, whatever you want to do, but they're throwing off 3-foot waves that are coming into the shore. I have a bulkhead on my property, but there are many parts of the lake that don't have bulkheads, and it's eroding, I have to imagine, it's eroding the shore of the lake. So, I mean, in general, those are my concerns.
Well, I can tell you a couple of conversations that the police and I have had in the past with other residents that live on the lake. And you can't control how many people come on the lake. If we were going to control how many boats were going to be on the lake per square foot or whatever it was, because we had that conversation, not everybody that lives on the lake could even go out on the lake without people from the general public coming in. So that is not reasonable. But you can limit, like Lake Meridian does, you can limit. I mean, a lot of them don't have going counterclockwise and outside the buoys. I mean, we've got some rules that they don't have at Lake Taps. I mean, Lake Taps have accidents every year. But you could limit wake surfing to certain days a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday or something, so that you don't have wake surfing every day. But you know, people say wake surfing is so simple and you don't have to go very fast. And everybody has these big, fancy, expensive boats. And I understand exactly, Councilmember Page, about going out on the lake because, yeah, our little low-sided ski boat, heck, I don't want to be out there when those big boats are out. I don't even want to be out there in my jet ski when those big boats are out there. So I think that we have to understand that we could have rules for when jet skis can be out there because there's more and more, especially those stand-up ones now. And we could have rules when they could be on the lake, just like Lake Meridian does. We could have rules, but I think we need to think about how we want to do it, because once we start changing rules on the lake, people are going to realize they could change the hours, they could change everything.
Yeah, so understood. Those are all great points, and I think we need to break it down into safety issues and non-safety issues, I think.
And I think there's a lot of people that live in places where the boats aren't even supposed to go, and they're going anyway. I mean, I see boats coming inside the buoys and jet skis all the time, and I live two doors away from you.
Yeah, so. No, I get it. And you know, I guess the only thing I would say is, and what I've suggested several times, is that we look at what other lakes are doing, what other boat launches are doing. I know that there are resident fees and non-resident fees at Coulomb Park and Lake Washington. Right. I know that there are restrictions on the number of people that can come into the parks on Lake Taps. And all I'm suggesting is we look at ways to make this lake safer. I'm not a NIMBY, you know. I want this lake to be fun, but I also can sit there and look out on that lake and go, I'm not going out on that lake because we got people doing things that I feel would put either my kids at risk or me at risk of running into somebody else because they're going the wrong way, or jet skis, you know, and I have a jet ski. I get it. You know, I mean, people could look at me out there on the jet ski and say, well, you're being unsafe. But, you know, I guess all I would say is this. As a general conversation, I think we are not going to have less people on the lake. We are going to have more people on the lake year after year after year. And we're not Lake Washington. We don't have a huge lake. We have a limited amount of space, and we're going to have to figure out how to equitably administer that.
Councilmember Dean,
that's all I would say.
I just have a question, Mayor, on communication with the residents out on the lake. So I think there's over 300 homes on the lake, if I'm not mistaken.
350, yes.
Yeah, so what about contacting the community club there on the lake, Lake Sawyer Community Club, and sending out a questionnaire to all the residents along the lake about, you know, just, you know, the council's looking at some changes, you know, maybe just the wake surfing hours or something. If the city could format something and give it to them and get that information out on the lake and just get feedback from the lake.
And we can do that. So right now we're working on an invasive aquatic vegetation management plan. And Lauren sent out an email to everybody that she has the email address for. So we have 350 houses approximately on the lake, but we only have around 200 and some people that actually participate. So anyway, she sent out an email to them about getting their input for trying to get rid of the invasive vegetation and especially the milfoil and the lily pads. But she could do that too. So what we'd have to do is come up with a list of things that what would people like to see done, because I know a lot of people that are on that list and they will participate. And so I think it's a good idea that it goes through the Lake Sawyer Community Club, because they're certainly interested in the safety of the lake, and we get lots of complaints every single year on how dangerous it is. And My thing is trying to follow a boat that is pulling inner tubes, it's weaving back and forth. How can you figure out where to go when they're weaving back and forth? And I'm on a jet ski. I just want to get by you, buddy. I just don't want to run into you. And they've got the right of way because they're in front of me. And it's very frustrating that you have to wait till they get away from you, or you go across the lake and go someplace else, and then you run into somebody else doing the same thing. That's dangerous too. I think you should have to go on a straight line. We never used to do that when my kids were little and my grandkids were little. We never went weaving around. We just went around the lake. So my kids learned how to tip the inner tube and go to the other side without having to drive your boat back and forth in it. So I don't know. But it's 6:59. I think we need to just work on making a list and bringing it to another meeting, and then I can pass it on to the Lake Sawyer Community Club. And I need a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Meeting adjourned.
I still didn't beat you, Tammy.
He's had a lot of experience.
I know. I give it a try every once in a while, but not very often.
Well, in a few seconds here, I'll start the town hall meeting. And I see two guests, so.
So we're in the, it's a continuation meeting?
We're going to start a new meeting. We just adjourned this meeting, and at 7 o'clock, I will bring the meeting to order. I call this meeting to order. Please stand for the flag salute.
Yes, Steve, it's the same Zoom invite.
Got it.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the Republic
for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Oh, we have the roll call. Brenda, you're muted.
Oh, I couldn't find my mouse. Where was it? There. Too many screens. Councilmember Deedy?
Here.
Councilmember Oglesby?
Here.
Councilmember Wisnowski?
Here.
Councilmember Stout?
Here.
Councilmember De Leon?
Here.
Councilmember O'Donnell?
Here.
Councilmember Page?
Here.
We have a quorum, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. So for our town hall meeting, the rules are we only do it twice a year, so it's kind of hard to remember the rules. Each person gets to speak for 10 minutes, and then the clerk will mute you after 10 minutes until everybody's gotten to speak once, and then you can come back and speak for an additional 3 minutes. So if we have somebody that wants to speak, you're going to have to turn your video on and raise your hand. So do we have anybody that wants to speak for the town hall meeting? Well,
it doesn't look like it, Mayor.
Yeah. So seeing no one,
I'll make a motion.
This is, hello, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, Kristen, we can hear you.
I actually didn't want to speak, but there's a phone number at the end there. And what I do want to say for the town hall, I'm sorry, I can't turn my video on right now, but is when you have public comment like this or any other public comment that I hope you'll start again at your regular meetings. It may be also useful to give people a chance at the public hearing or comment period to unmute all. And
could we have the speaker identify?
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't plan to speak. This is Kristen Bryant. I grew up in Black Diamond and I live in Bellevue. And it was, my comment was only to the Zoom related issues, which is that when people call only by phone, given an opportunity where Brenda or whoever's running the Zoom unmutes all, to see if somebody who maybe hasn't figured out the Zoom video or is phone only might be able to say something then. And the corollary to that is to ask if you guys would consider starting your regular public comment again, and doing that at your regular meetings, is just unmuting and making sure that if people want to give a public comment, they get a chance to.
Well, thank you, Kristen. We have actually talked about that. So we just have to figure out how to do that. So is there anybody else that wished to speak for the town hall meeting?
Yes, ma'am. Just for some reason, my phone wasn't working. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
We can. Gary?
Okay. Yeah, Gary Davis.
Black Diamond, right?
Black Diamond, yes.
Go ahead, Gary.
Okay. One item in particular. I feel that the city council didn't ask for higher impact fees. Earlier this year, they only asked for about half of what they're able to ask for. Oh, and doing it the way that you've done it, it's going to make for considerably higher taxes for the rest of the citizens in Black Diamond. I think most of them are in agreement, at least as far as school taxes. They're paying quite a bit as it is right now. And if the developers are going to be part of our community, they should pay more to support our schools. And that is about it. I'm glad to see down there on Railroad Avenue, they got most of the tree debris picked up. When I went by today, I was able to see down there. There wasn't anything blocking my view.
Yeah, pretty good.
So, but thank you. I'll sit back and listen to the rest.
Okay. Thank you, Gary. So is there anybody else wishing to speak? Did we, when we did the thing on the school impact fees, the attorney sent us some information on why you don't adopt the 100% figure, because you can't justify, you don't pay for all of the schools, you pay for part of the schools. The schools are responsible for raising money. Did we ever post that anywhere, Brenda? Could we? Maybe, I don't know, is there parts of that that you could talk to David about that we could publish on the website so people could see what he had to see, what's normal and traditional about charging school impact fees? Because I think people misunderstand that nobody pays 100%. And there were a couple of school districts that he pointed out were paying more than 50%, but almost all the school districts that have impact fees, it's like 50% of what they do the calculation on. And so it would be good if we could put that out somewhere in the public. And I think part of it was privileged, but I mean, maybe there's something that he could publish that would make the public know more about it. Councilmember Stout.
That was a really complicated topic for me when we were going through the process of adopting the school impact fees. And the term used in the documentation is discount. And I never understood that. Why is there a discount? It just didn't make sense to me. But when I learned that what discount means is local share, not necessarily a discount, then it made all the sense in the world to me. It was explained to us that we're not allowed to charge 100% of the cost of schools, that there has to be various funding streams that come, and you know, I couldn't even list legally what those are, but there are several different methods of paying for schools, and that comes from the state. So we and this impact fee that we're talking about is not related to the big Ten Trails development. It's related to a city ordinance that every place built in the city, meaning infill, not the major development, because there's already another agreement for that development between the school district, the city, and the developer. This is for all the infill within the city that just has been going along getting freebies and not paying any school impact fees at all. And so this is why it was very important to us, and it took, how long did it take? 2 years to come up with that final agreement? And
A very long time, yeah.
It took a very long time, and it was not entered into lightly, and we did study it, and we wanted to have any infill builder pay their fair share into building schools. So it's a super complicated topic, and the formula that is used is, you know, you have to be a mathematician to really understand the concept. But we did bring it to a point where any person who builds within the city of Black Diamond is going to contribute a significant amount of money toward the building of schools in whatever district. We have four school districts in our city. So while it seems like they're getting a bargain because they're only paying 50%, Well, that's the local share.
Councilmember Deedy.
So I found David's email on all that topic. And from what I can see, he's stating state law. So I would assume that when Brenda finds it and talks to David, that quite a bit of it can be posted. He did mention that two cities in the Washington have charged higher, that's 75% versus the 50%, and that's Duval and Carnation. And it didn't go into why, but I'm assuming they're really small cities and that they would need a higher impact fee on builders to come in so that they have that money to help with their schools. Going over some of this from David, I don't want to say too much until Brenda gets an okay, but 50% is pretty much statewide, you know, within Washington that school districts are doing. So once Brenda gets in contact with David or the mayor and posts that, then I think, Gary, you'll understand why we went ahead with what we did. And I think it'll be explained a little better.
Councilmember De Leon.
Thank you. I know that this is one topic about the school impact fees that I remember saying a little bit earlier too, but school funding in the state just in general is kind of a mess and it's really wonky. And I think some of this conversation is something that anybody who has concerns about should be taking to, I mean, there's a county portion, but even more importantly, there's a state portion, taking to some of your electeds who are, you know, your legislators, writing to, you know, you could ask more even with OSPI, you know, you could ask the superintendent, even though they don't mandate it, they can at least kind of walk through some of the rest of it. But yeah, the funding model in the state is really, really tricky and complicated. And people will have all sorts of opinions about which model works and which one might work better or not. But some of these parts are where, you know, this is at least within our jurisdiction as a city to do. And again, this kind of goes to especially Councilmember Stout's point about, you know, the fact that we didn't have any for a while and we needed to get this was a long time overdue to get something on the books. And that's what we have in our power to do. And again, it's a lot of complicated math for sure. And it took a lot of partnering with all of these different school district entities to really hammer out something that could be agreeable and, you know, for everyone involved. But yeah, it's a mess. And I do hear what residents were saying, you know, that like, you know, now we're going to have to run more of these levies and these bonds and things like that. And it's like, yeah, no, I get it. I get it. You know, I came from the education world. I know a lot of educators. It is not fun the way that our the model is. But I think that's a conversation to have more with folks who are going to be doing even more on that higher end policy, you know, the higher end funding models and really we have control over in this city. So that would just be my extra recommendations if you have really specific points about funding, especially because there are these moving parts beyond our city, to really talk with those entities beyond our city.
Councilmember Wisnowski.
Yeah, I think one thing that we probably should reaffirm again is something that Councilmember Stout mentioned. This these impact fees is not a make 10 trails pay their fair share. They've been paying their fair share since the beginning of the master development contract, right? They've been paying their fair share for every house they've built since the beginning of the contract. These school impact fees do not actually affect 10 trails. They affect, like Councilmember Stout said, all of the other infills, like, right? Like over here in what's now Olympic Lane, where they built 9 houses where there was once 1, right? That kind of stuff. They didn't pay impact fees, and that's what we wanted to get. All these little infills down there on Park Ave where they put 3 houses in, that kind of stuff, they weren't paying impact fees, and this is aimed at the small developments, right? Here and there throughout the city. It is not aimed at the 10 trails of the world or Oak Point or Yarrow Bay or wherever you want to call them. That they are already paying their impact fees. An impact fee agreed upon with the school districts. And this is focused on the smaller infill developments throughout the city because we wanted to make sure that everybody paid their fair share. And we realize these fees get passed on to the homeowners, but still, it's something that we wanted to have as additional funding for our schools. And I think, you know, our schools are very happy with it. They all four of them worked with us on these, right? So I think we did a great job. It took a while to get through it because, like everyone has said here, right, it's not an easy process or a non-complex process, right? So it took a lot of kind of understanding the different ins and outs and whereas and wherefores and who fors and what fors and all the different legal issues that come along with it in the state. Like Councilmember De Leon was saying, our funding system is complex. I think we did a good job getting those impact fees in, and the schools and the school boards are very happy and very appreciative. So just to clarify.
Councilmember Deedy?
I'm good.
Okay. Councilmember O'Donnell?
I would just, to the resident, Gary Davis, I haven't met him, but I'd like to. I just want to make the, I want to make sure that he's been heard, that I think that councilperson, member De Leon, I respect what you're saying on, you know, we need to work with the state and the county and others that have some ability to make sure that our schools are being funded. I think that's really important. My wife's been a teacher for 30 years, so I see it firsthand, and I know we contribute to make sure that the kids have crayons and they have that, and that's coming out of, you know, my wife's own personal pocket. You know, we want to make sure the schools are funded, but we don't want to make, we want to make sure that as we grow as a community, that we're making sure that the existing residents, an additional burden isn't placed on them above and beyond what we should expect out of them. So I think when we look at the impact fees and other things as we grow, that we're really taking a hard look to make sure that we're not creating a situation that that the residents that have been here and may, you know, there's a lot of people that are on fixed incomes and things like that, you know, and times are tough, that we, as we grow, that we make sure we're taking care of the people that are there, and that we don't do something that wasn't intended, and that we're properly looking at that. So that's all I want to say. I just want to make sure that he feels like he's been heard, and we are taking a hard look at that anytime we're making decisions, that we're thinking about those consequences, and that people are paying their fair share, for sure.
Well, and the impact fees are for capital projects, not for color crayons. I just wanted to clear that up. Did you, Councilmember Stout, did you have something to say?
Oh, just the last thing about Carnation and Duval. One of them is a smaller city than ours. One of them is a larger city.
Yeah, Duval's not very much bigger than we are, though.
As Denise Stiffarm, the attorney for Enumclaw School District, explained to us, if an impact fee is going to be much higher than the 50% local share, they have to present their specific need and why they can justify that much higher local share. So we don't fall into that case, at least right now here. So the 50% local share is the logical one that fits into the state law for our locality.
Councilmember Oglesby? Oh, I thought you raised your hand. So is there anyone else wanting to speak at the town hall meeting? I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Mayor, I'd like to be careful not to adjourn too quickly. I see a couple other people who may or may not struggle to get unmuted or participate. So if we could wait a moment to see if there's someone who wants to speak.
Looks like we gained an iPad, it says.
Yep.
The iPad is on mute, if they don't know that. So we're not hearing you if you're talking, if you'd like to speak.
I have asked them to unmute.
Oh, they left.
Also, we see someone, Carrie Dean. Is that someone?
Oh, that's That's Don Johnson and Carrie Dean. And if they wanted to speak, I'm sure they know how to turn theirs on.
So I make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Meeting adjourned.